It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Enbridge's Line 5 pipeline. It carries crude oil and natural gas liquids from its terminal in Superior to Canada. Enbridge says Line 5 is a vital piece of energy infrastructure for 70 years. We hear from leaders of Indigenous communities who say this pipeline threatens their health and safety and that of other communities in its 645-mile path. You can add your voice to the discussion. Call in with a question, a comment, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Whitney Gravel is president of the Executive Council on behalf of Bay Mills Indian Community, serves as commissioner on the Michigan Advisory Council on Environmental Justice and the board of directors of the Intertribal Council of Michigan. Whitney, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Good morning. And Mike Wiggins Jr. with us, chairman of the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa. Mike, welcome back.
Yeah, thank you. It's an honor to be here. And good morning.
Good morning. We're going to start with litigation. Mike, you first. The Bad River Band filed its lawsuit against Enbridge in 2019. Bad River Tribe suing to shut down, remove Line 5 from your tribal lands. How do you feel about where this lawsuit stands in terms of what you seek to accomplish?
Well, we're still awaiting decision, so I should probably be mindful of that. But, all indications are that the judge understands there's a trespass that's occurring. He has, for the most part, indicated he's going to uphold the trespass, which essentially puts forward that notion that Enbridge does not have a legal right to be where they're at inside our reservation. And so underneath that umbrella of trespass, there's still a nuisance claim, which is a legal term that gets at the impacts that the line has on our reservation, land, water, and people. You could look at those impacts through a whole multitude of lenses, from the mini industrialization of sites as they chase anomalies, which are otherwise essentially potential failure sites within the pipe, and there's dozens and dozens of those, or the low-grade stress of having the river pounding away at the pipeline right away to where, at the meander, the Bad River is literally only about 11 feet away from the pipe, and it's a powerful river, and flood scenarios, there's a lot at stake with what's going on at the right in the riverbed of the Bad River.
You've had such erosion concerns as well.
Yeah, there's a lot at stake in terms of things washing out very quickly, and so there's when you live here and it's your forever home, there's always the stress and the worry of what's taking place, ecologically, and how that's going to impact, the potential release of oil into our waterways. So that's all part of that nuisance bundle.
Whitney Gravel, can you carry this on to focus on the Bay Mills Indian community filing suit against Enbridge? And what do you see as part of your community in Line 5?
Yeah, so Bay Mills Indian Community is actually involved in two permit processes as well as two litigation strategies that are taking place involving the Line 5 dual pipelines. One of those is we are an intervening party before the Michigan Public Service Commission, which is the body here in the state of Michigan that will decide whether or not the Line 5 dual pipelines can be placed in a tunnel beneath the Straits of Mackinac. And the other litigation that is taking place is a contested case petition that is occurring before the state agency, Environment, Great Lakes, and Energy Department for the state of Michigan, who has issued one of the first permits to Enbridge Energy to build a tunnel beneath the Straits of Mackinac. In addition to that, Bay Mills Indian Community has also participated as an amici in the state of Michigan's litigation against Enbridge, which is concerning the easement revocation and protection of the public trust that the state of Michigan is trying to leverage in order to not only protect tribal nations in the state of Michigan, but also to protect the state itself and the Great Lakes and our water and land. So when it comes to Line 5, there's so much that's going on, but ultimately, I think our tribal nations and our indigenous communities are trying to stay involved so that we can protect the Great Lakes for everyone.
When you say digging a pipeline tunnel beneath the Straits of Mackinac, take us more deeply into what the challenge of this is, because it's been called an untested tunnel, and this is a massive concrete tunnel that the Public Service Commission in Michigan is assessing in terms of, giving the permit. What can you tell us?
Yeah, so not only has this design of the tunnel ever been done anywhere else in the world, there are significant concerns raised to the actual ability of the tunnel to protect and prevent the Line 5 dual pipelines from destroying the Great Lakes. In the Michigan Public Service proceedings, we have had expert witness testimony that from pipeline and tunnel experts that have identified huge concerns with methane gases getting into the tunnel and causing a catastrophic explosion that would then not only blow up the tunnel, but blow up the pipeline and ultimately blow up the Straits of Mackinac. And so, although the tunnel is being presented as this win for everyone and that it's going to protect the Great Lakes or protect the Straits of Mackinac, it actually isn't. And what it also fails to take into consideration is that the Line 5 dual pipelines have already spilled more than 1.1 million gallons of crude product throughout the state of Michigan in areas other than the Straits of Mackinac. So the Straits is a very vital point. It is probably the most dangerous part of the pipeline currently in existence, but the tunnel isn't going to protect the pipeline from all the other harm that it's going to cause throughout the Great Lakes.
Mike Wiggins, chair of the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa, when you hear about a proposal like this and trying to create a tunnel to make something more safe, what comes to mind for you leading an Indigenous community?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is extremism. Untested, unproven extremism that's absolutely for private corporate profit. And so there's, we're talking about the freshwater stronghold of America, in addition to that being the ceded territory of the Ojibwe or Anishinaabe people. But it's extremism. And the Mackinac Straits are a power place rooted in the center of the Great Lakes. Our particular issue in Bad River is a power place rooted in that connectivity of 47% of the wetlands of Lake Superior in the Kakog and Bad River wetlands, just downstream from the point of failure of the Line 5. It's rooted in the Apostle Islands and that unbelievable archipelago coastal wetland realm that's here. And so you have two incredibly powerful areas that are crucial to Lake Superior and the Great Lakes being threatened with extremist kind of practices on an outdated pipe that is beyond its life. And that's part of the other scene here is that there will be a perpetual dance with failure points called anomalies, if they would be allowed to continue. But the other piece that comes to mind is that there's a cumulative impact to the totality of the line that can't be ignored. And when you look at the overall impacts that are occurring and the threats, there isn't much applicability. I didn't see much applicability in court, nor in any economic development schemas. But the cumulative impacts and threats that the line represents to water and to the expanse of the line is, it's at a point where it's probably best to just shut it down. We did see in court that the experts talked about under oath how it would take about a year for the market to adjust, while during that year there would be a negligible impact on the average American. So, we're in a capitalist powerhouse here in America, and the market's ready for that. It would take about a year to adjust, and life would go on. Enbridge is pretty misleading with this notion that, all of a sudden your lights wouldn't come on or you wouldn't be able to heat your house or something like that. Their experts never got to those types of points. under oath.
The Bad River Band declined some of Enbridge's proposals to slow erosion around the Line 5. Why did the tribe decline Enbridge's proposals?
Well, the first proposal that we put forward from the beginning was that Enbridge, since Enbridge was in trespass and they had no legal right to be in our land and water, that they shut down and purge and remove the threat. That proposal has been rejected. When we went through a series of of requests just to see what their shutdown protocol looked like under different flood scenarios, we never got an answer. And so we went through a lot trying to get at the notion of protecting water. But when you look at the proposals that have been put forward by Enbridge, they're pockmarked with shoddiness, pockmarked with untested, extreme, industrialized kind of remedies for what's occurring at the site. The site happens to be in probably the zenith of river morphology on our reservation, meaning it is a very dynamic, really powerful area where the river jumps around in the river bottom a lot. And it's actually part of the whole scenario is of why the river is pounding away and about to unseat the pipe and all the earth around it. Mm. But industrializing that pristine area is always vetted through a lens of water quality impacts, and that gets into our water quality standards and all those thoughts about downstream resources. And none of those proposals really passed muster in terms of what they were designed to do. They were questionable, and they were really, really heavy-handed in the environmental impacts.
Mike Wiggins, Jr., chairman of the Bad River Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa. We have Whitney Gravel with us, president of the Bay Mills Indian Community Executive Board in Michigan. We get perspective on Enbridge Line 5, efforts by tribes to shut down the pipeline, protect the Straits of Mackinac as well. You can join in at any point. Call in at 800-642-1234 with a question, your thoughts. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Enbridge Line 5 pipeline, it transports millions of gallons of oil and liquid gas each day through northern Wisconsin and Michigan en route to Canada. We focus on Indigenous perspectives as it crosses tribal lands and potential risks to safety and health. You can join in on Line 5. Call in with questions, a comment, 800-642-1234. Whitney Gravel is president of the Bay Mills Indian Community. Mike Wiggins, Jr. is chairman of the Bad River Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa. Let's bring in Patrick in Winona, Minnesota. Hi, Patrick.
Oh, Minogishigad. Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
My question is, first of all, I want to say to your guests, thank you for all the work you guys have been doing over the years. Keep it up. My question is, though, this has been going on for years. It's been going on since the treaties have been signed. What is it that we can do as Native nations, as sovereign Native nations, to set a precedence for this? Because there's laws in there for the EPA and the DNR, and we always have this convoluted, you know, mess every time and repeat this over and over again. What can we do as a nation of people to unite and set precedence to where we don't have to continually go through this over and over again?
Patrick, thank you. Whitney, you first on the legally binding contracts between sovereign nations.
Patrick is right on point in identifying that the treaties that we negotiated with the United States are the supreme law of the land. And ultimately, it's not only extremism, as Chairman Wiggins said, that we are dealing with on behalf of Enbridge Energy, but we're also continuing to deal with many forms of colonization in this fight. Mm-hmm. I think it's really important that folks understand that as our treaties are supreme law of the land, that they are living documents, and that they're not something that are trapped in history or trapped in a textbook, that they are there to provide illumination on how we maintain our relationship with the land and with the water. And as tribes, I think we're going to be entering a new treaty recognition era where it is our sovereignty that will not only empower us, but it will empower others as we strive to protect that relationship that we have with land and water. When you look at climate change or the fossil fuel industry or everything that we're going to be facing in the coming decades, Indigenous communities will be disproportionately impacted by the impacts of those issues. And we are the canary in the coal mine. We are standing up and warning everyone of what those impacts will actually be. And if we can, as tribal nations, enter this new treaty recognition era, share, educate, and inform others of what our treaty rights actually mean, that it's about preserving relationships with land and water, and understand that in empowering our sovereignty is ultimately protecting everyone, I think we'll be in a much better place to not only protect what's precious to us, but to be able to protect what's precious to everyone else as well.
Chairman Mike Wiggins, thoughts on entering a new treaty recognition era in respect to Enbridge?
Yeah, well, I think you know, one of the things that's going to happen is there's going to be a growing consciousness and awareness around natural resources. When you think about how important water is nowadays, the average Wisconsinite, the average person in the Midwest area is waking up to PFAS contamination. Down in southern Wisconsin, they're waking up to E. coli in their private wells, you know, in some of the counties around CAFOs. And so the importance of water is rising in value, and definitely rising in the consciousness of our people up north here. And so there aren't any more lakes and rivers to sacrifice for corporate profit. We are at the point where it's time to hang on and not look at funding more Superfund sites. Let's look at protection and preservation of places that are still enough to support the web of life. And that's what we have here in the Lake Superior Drainage Basin and along the length of Line 5 and a lot of that Upper Peninsula area. They've been mined, they've been pipelined and all of that, but there's still enough. We're at a point where the pipe itself and the failure points are your sign that it's had its run, it's had its day, and like a lot of business endeavors, it's probably time to move on to the next.
Whitney, along the lines of treaty recognition, Enbridge releasing a plan last year, calling it a reconciliation plan to integrate Indigenous rights and knowledge into our business across Turtle Island, it says. What do you make of this plan?
The plan for me is just another PR stunt by Enbridge. You can't engage in reconciliation when you are still actively harming Indigenous communities. And understanding the law, understanding the rights that should be afforded to tribal nations, it rings and echoes hollow when Enbridge wants to say that they respect tribes or that they respect treaty rights or that they respect the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People, but then ignore tribes when they are asking for Enbridge to leave their lands, to leave their waters, to respect and honor their treaty rights and not jeopardize them. And so for me, it's just another PR stunt, and it doesn't mean anything, because if you really meant what you were saying, you would not be continuing to harm us even today in your operation of Line 5. If you really respected Indigenous communities, you would listen to what we're saying when we tell you that you need to decommission Line 5 in order to protect the Great Lakes for everyone. If you respected tribal nations, you would not engage in massive amounts of donations and money and public relations stunts in order to undermine Indigenous voices. And so for me, it means nothing because I believe in actions, not only words. And Enbridge has proven time and time again that they are not to be trusted and that they don't actually care about tribal nations, Indigenous communities, or the people of the Great Lakes.
Mike Wiggins, Jr., we only have a few moments left. Is a full shutdown of Line 5 the best path forward?
Well, our efforts in Bad River are focused on protecting our nation's treaty-reserved water rights realm. We're in our forever home. We need our groundwater aquifers to be clean. That's where all of our communities' wells are tapped into. And what's happening on the surface in the Bad River is an imminent threat. We went to an emergency injunction court hearing the other day and, you know, kind of got scolded by the judge as though couldn't understand why we haven't acted like a responsible pipeline company as a tribal nation. But our effort is to protect our water. And I would say this, you know, I sat with an Enbridge official. He had a map he wanted to show me. And what he brought out was a USGS groundwater map. And he told me that their product's presence in groundwater aquifers really doesn't amount to pollution. Mm. And so I'll submit that for lack of integrity and lack of reconciliation. It's not a very good prospect.
Mike Wiggins, their chairman of the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa, Whitney Gravel, president of the Bay Mills Indian Community Executive Board in Michigan. Thank you both. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.